You know, our home life nurtures who we are, right? So growing up, my daily chores in my house consisted of walking the dog every day and taking out the trash. My sister, on the other hand, always set the table for dinner, and she helped do the dishes. For whatever reason, I was never allowed to help do the dishes. I don't know why. Now, consequently, in a way, I was very spoiled because of that, and never really had to work the dishwasher often. So, fast forward to one summer day when I was a seminarian, studying to be a priest, and I was at my summer parish assignment in Huntington with Monsignor Dean Borgmeyer, who many of you know was at St. Mary's some time ago. And I realized the dishwasher was full. So, being a good, obedient seminarian, I went to find a dishwashing soap. Monsignor was out, and all I could find was the normal soap. Now, you know, I'm an educated man. To me, soap is soap. So I figured, it'll be fine, and I put some in. Well, I left for a couple minutes to do some other tasks, and when I returned to the kitchen, I gasped in horror. The entire floor was covered in soap bubbles, and more kept coming out from the dishwasher like lava. I frantically began to clean up all the soap. Now, I must say Monsignor must have been proud because his floor had never been more clean than that day, let me tell you. You see, I had not realized that you had to use specific dishwasher soap to wash dishes and not normal soap. You see, if I had learned this very important piece of knowledge at home, I would have been able to take it with me into my adult life. Now, in this morning's first reading, our Lord prepares the prophet Ezekiel for a tough mission, to be the Lord's spokesman to a rebellious people not disposed to listen to him. You see, Ezekiel had to call out the people of Israel because of their infidelity to our Lord's covenant and for the corruption that had arisen amongst them. The people would have to learn again to trust in the Lord's love and care for them and follow his commandments. Our Lord warned Ezekiel, though, that he would not be met with open arms by the people, but the Holy Spirit would be there with him to give him the words and help he needed to be the Lord's prophet. In our gospel, our Lord himself encounters similar problems that Ezekiel had to undergo. When Christ came back to Nazareth, right, his hometown, to preach the gospel, he was met with unwelcoming arms. The people had grown up with him as a child, so their ears and hearts were blinded to his message. St. Mark, the gospel writer, says that the people said, "Is this not the carpenter, right, the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Like, we know this guy. Are not these his sisters with us?" Now, what must first be understood by this statement of Mark is that he was actually not referring to Christ's biological brothers and sisters. As the church has always recognized, Our Lady was a perpetual virgin and did not have any other children other than Christ. In Christ's time, however, extended family were all referred to as brothers and sisters. In fact, the gospel writers would later refer to these very same people as children of another person. Therefore, in the gospel passage today, Mark is referring most probably to the cousins or relatives of our Lord who lived in Nazareth, when he refers to brothers and sisters. Yet, no matter, the people feel way too familiar with our Lord. Right? At stake is their pride. They didn't want to admit that a humble hometown boy has anything to teach them. Therefore, their lack of faith impedes Christ's work. Overall, we can say that the gospel today reminds us that even our Lord, the Son of God himself, much like Ezekiel and the other prophets, faced opposition when bringing his teachings to the people of their day. Now, here in our own day, we as Christians also have a mission, an apostolate, to bear God's message and make it known in our everyday lives, right? Just as Ezekiel and Christ himself did. Through our baptisms, we were given a share in what's called Christ's prophetic office. To put that very simply, that means we have a role as being a spokesman for our Lord. This happens naturally through the sharing of our faith, through teaching the faith, but also by the very fact of being a Christian, by living the faith in action. I think we probably all know this in theory, but we can often forget how this actually applies, though, beyond these church walls. Or when we think of evangelization, of sharing our faith, we might think of Mormon missionaries or Jehovah's Witnesses coming to our door to talk about the good news. You know, as I mentioned before, they never come to my door. I don't know why. I'm always waiting. Yet, sharing our faith encompasses much more than that, right? And we as Catholics have a duty to do it in word and action. As Pope St. John Paul II once said, no believer in Christ, no institution of the church can avoid this supreme duty to proclaim Christ to all peoples. Yet how do we do that, right, in our everyday lives? Especially when we don't feel up to par to evangelize. I mean, after all, many of us might be thinking, Father, I don't feel comfortable talking about my faith to others. Or, Father, I haven't learned about my faith since I was in CCD. How can I talk about it to others? Or perhaps, Father, people do not want to hear about the faith. Only if they bring it up will I maybe mention it. After all, we Catholics are not known for our evangelization skills anymore. Right? Long gone are the days of the courageous Jesuits who set sail for China and Japan and the Americas to catechize the peoples. Yet, of course, we don't gain easily overnight the courage to talk about our faith to our coworkers, our classmates, our friends. That rarely happens overnight. We have to grow into it. And the way we grow into it is by simply living out our faith concretely and exteriorly within the confines of our own homes. Now, what do I mean by this? Well, in order to feel comfortable talking about our faith to others outside of our home, it has to be so ingrained in our day-to-day actions that it naturally seeps into all aspects of our lives. And that all starts at home. Our Catholic faith must be lived out at home. Right? That's why the home is called the domestic church. Its focus should ultimately be on our Lord. Now, I've spoken before about how we each must have a daily prayer life. That's fundamental and absolutely necessary. I mean, without prayer, we will never progress in our relationship with Christ, will we? But once having a consistent prayer life, we must carry it over practically into our home life. In other words, our prayer life must be public as well. Now, there are so many ways we can live out our faith at home. In an extremely simple way, we can have a crucifix present in our house, and preferably in every room, to remind us of our Lord. Whenever we get into the car, by ourselves or with family, we can say a prayer for our travels. And we also have a great tradition in our faith of asking God's blessing upon our meals before eating. When was the last time we prayed before meals at home or at a restaurant? So often I think we can take our food and needs for granted. Yet by starting our meals with a prayer, we immediately bring God into the picture, recognizing it's because of him that we're able to eat this day. If you have a spouse or children at home, When was the last time you actually prayed together as a family? Our Catholic faith has so many devotions and prayers that are meant to be prayed together. This past week, I was able to go on a retreat, and my mom actually came along with me. And as we were driving in the car, we prayed a rosary and a Divine Mercy chaplet together. Growing up, as I mentioned before, every night around 8 p.m., we'd all be called into the living room, and we would pray a family rosary together. Now, as a child, there were many times, if not all, that I did not want to do this. But I had no choice in the matter, right? But now as I've gotten older, I'm thankful that we did. Because it not only taught me about the importance of the rosary, but it also taught me about the importance of family prayer. I knew we were a Catholic household. You know, as that somewhat cheesy but true saying goes, a family that prays together stays together. If our families are not praying together as our children are young, we can't expect our children to pray as a family when they get older. Now, you can also set up a prayer corner or a little home altar in your room for your prayers. It makes the environment a little easier to pray, and your family can gather around it in prayer. We had this in my living room growing up, and we even, during the rosary, we had a little home incense burner. We'd burn incense during the rosary. And so if you ever meet with me in my office, I have a little incense burner as well. I brought it with me from my childhood. Now, it obviously takes effort to pray together with someone else. And, you know, it might seem a little awkward at first, but that's okay. You'll grow into it. And soon, if we make it a daily habit, we'll not be able to imagine our life without it. No matter what we do, our faith must be present in our home life. If you're not used to praying daily, well, okay, start small. Start with praying three Hail Marys. That's not nothing. It's the beginning of a beautiful relationship with God and His Holy Mother. Only then will we be willing to slowly bring it out into other aspects of our life, be evangelizers to others. Just as I couldn't bring my dishwashing skills with me into my adult life, since I did not have any, so too must we have a solid faith life at home first, before we can bring it out into other areas of our lives. Sure, it's not always going to be easy to share our faith, even in our own home. But it was not either for Ezekiel or Christ at times. Nor do we have to be many Billy Grahams or Fulton Sheens before we can evangelize. As St. Paul said in our second reading today, our Lord will work through our weaknesses. We just have to be willing. It's in our human weakness, as St. Paul tells us, that our Lord is able to work through us the most. The Holy Spirit will be there to guide us and give us the strength as He did to Ezekiel, especially when we meet resistance, especially in our own home. Our Lord loves each of us, and He'll be there to be with us as a constant support. If we are His witnesses to others, not only, of course, will we be rewarded in heaven, but we will be rewarded here on earth with an interior peace, despite the sufferings we go through. We will have an interior peace because we are bringing people to Christ, which is the supreme duty. And Christ will support us and give us His grace to get through the many struggles of our day. And so on this 14th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we must ask ourselves, what ways can we increase our faith life in our own home and bring our faith more concretely into our everyday lives?